ran into a bus on Monday and, you know, had a good season, but just fell a little short of making it to Lincoln again.
Yeah, Wahoo, you know, we talked about that last Saturday. You knew going in, even Saturday when the official parents hadn't come out yet, it was going to be the Wahoo Warriors. And talk about a team with the Simons kid. He's going to get a lot of recognition for a lot of All-State honors coming up at the end of the season, isn't he?
Yeah, and rightfully so. You know, he's we've at the end of the year, starting with Ogallala, we got to see a lot of really, really good players, and I hope that that does justice for our kids moving forward of, you know, this is the difference between an all-conference kind of player to all-state kind of players, and the Simons kid, you know, the size he had and the athleticism, you know, we haven't seen too many guys of that caliber with that size, and, you know, he was hard to guard, and, you know, they had his supporting cast was good. They're quick. They could put the ball in the hoop. They could play great defense. They're just they're a good team. They played well that night, and, you know, good luck to them, I guess.
Yeah, one of a couple of teams in your schedule played Scotts Bluff twice. You played Wahoo. You played Cozad. You played Sydney, Ogallala, all those teams in the state tournament. So it just goes to show you that that schedule was really tough this year.
It was, especially, you know, like I said, in February on. I know we played Sydney and in January, but, you know, we finished year 4-6, and six of those teams are down in Lincoln, who we lost to at the end. And, you also kind of could throw in Holdridge, where they would be a state tournament team. They kind of fell short in their district final. But, you know, for the most part, like, in the past couple of years, C1 and B have been pretty close to each other. And, you know, we feel like this year, we would have been like a C1 state caliber team, but, you know, Class B is kind of starting to make a gap between C1 and B, and, you know, playing some of those Class B state tournament teams like Wahoo and Scotts Bluff, you know, those take for granted are some of your top Class B teams, but that gap's a little there. We got to find a way to close it, but like I said, I'm glad that our kids got to experience that and play against teams like that, and when you're talking about this is how we do that, you get a reference point with your opponents of this is how they did it, this is how it should look like, and I hope for future teams it turns into a positive.
I was going to say, did you figure Holdridge would win that district finals? That was the upset?
No, yeah, I thought they were going to win because, yeah, you know, we had that, they lost to Donovan Trumbull, and we had film of Holdridge, Donovan Trumbull, because they played right before we played Holdridge, and, you know, Holdridge pretty much handled them from the start to the end, but, you know, Donovan Trumbull is also one of those teams. They have a ton of kids who've been playing varsity for 3 or 4 years on state tournament teams. Mm-hmm. And that's including some of their top players, have been their top players since they were freshmen and their seniors. So they must have just have kicked it on as of late because, you know, they started a year pretty rocky. Donovan did and finished good. But, you know, watching that game, a lot of those role players from Holdridge weren't knocking down threes that they had been all year. And Garrett Johnson had to maybe take a heavier load than he normally did.
For your kids, of course, you'll have two seniors graduating once again, and John Patel and Andrew Pocup, those two bigs, going to be missed. They played a lot of minutes for you the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, usually when you lose two seniors, that's a very positive for your future, but I told my assistants after a game that, you know, we're going to notice these guys being gone immediately next year, and, you know, you start with John. We only had him for 2 years, but He had a couple unfortunate ankle injuries to start the year, and he had a good season, but I think it kind of hindered it because he was so explosive, you know, in the summer and in the fall and in the beginning of the season, and he jumping and getting to the hoop, and he just, you know, after his ankle injuries, just didn't have that same explosiveness, and, you know, but being able to play through that, you know, kudos to him, and he still had a good senior year. He averaged around 10 points a game, was our second leading rebounder. So, and we usually put him on the other team's best players to start the game, and so there's a heavy load we always ask him to give us. That's probably not always noticed in the crowd when you have to go guard an all-state player. And then Andrew Pocop, and you can't say enough about him where he's come in the recent past, you know, like – he was talking to me about last year. I had him do some instructional videos on how to do drills, you know, and so our kids could watch them when they did their own work on their own. And he's like, you know, I went back and watched those videos from last spring. He's like, holy cow, I've gotten a lot better. And he has. The kid has put in an exceptional amount of time. And You know, last year we had him starting in February for the rest of the year, and that was more so, you know, he was about the only guy who was willing to communicate on defense at the time. And it was like, well, it's our best option. He makes our defense better. Let's throw him a bone. And he just took off and ran with it. And, you know, there are times in January last year in JV, he's open under hoop and even wouldn't look to shoot. And how much better he got offensively is just, it's insane. And I hope that he's a good role model for our younger guys of, you know, don't just put in time, but put in quality time. And this is what you can be. And, you know, I would say half of the games this year, he's probably our best overall player. He gave us most in so many games. And then you add in, he was a great vocal leader for us. And usually when you get seniors, you know, sometimes it's my team. And with him and John, it was, this is our team. And they embraced the underclassmen. And they're going to be missed severely.
You move on and you think about next year already, and the work's going to have to be put on the summer. You got a lot of guards, got a lot of experience, and all three, you know, seniors, juniors to be seniors, sophomores, and I'm sure there'll be some freshmen moving to be sophomores that are going to contribute for you next year.
Yeah. Like I said, anytime you don't lose very many seniors, it should be a pretty bright spot for your future, which it is for us. We got a lot of guys who will have played 2 or 3 years in Bryson. I mean, he's played 4 years now. It'll be a varsity basketball. So we've got to get better, just not a year older. We're going to be too experienced to, you know, not have a step back. But, you know, again, when you return a lot of guys, you can, you know, win 2 or 3 games and return your whole roster. You're still a 2 or 3 win team. But being 16-10 and being pretty close and much improved, you know, from a year ago and returning a lot of guys, I hope that, you know, they're hungry going into their senior year, that, you know, we've got to get better in a few easy areas. And, you know, we do return 7 of our top 9, which is great. But when you look down the class of B, you know, Scott's Bluff returns everybody. Norris returns almost everybody. Wahoo had one senior. So, you know, it's still going to be an absolutely loaded class B in a year from now. But, all of our kids, you got to find a way to, you know, modify their game just a little bit. You know, we got to make necessary changes to close that gap. And, you know, I don't think we're that far off, but, you know, we got to be willing to fix bad habits and be uncomfortable with change. And I think once we do that, the kids will start seeing a little bit more success here when they start playing, you know, probably late spring, early summer.
I was going to say, a lot of those kids, some will play a spring sport, but otherwise some of those guys will play out shooting and getting spring workouts, and you know summer is going to be busy with a lot of different things going on.
Yeah, you know, a lot of our kids, they do track or golf or baseball, which occupies their time, which is good to see. Where, you know, we're not in that position where we can get a group of, you know, baseball players, a group of basketball, a group of football. We got to share most of our athletes, and so it's nice seeing that, you know, a vast majority of them do more than just basketball. We're kind of an iron sharpens iron part of thing. And but too, you know, we've talked with our kids, and you still got to put in that time regardless of how many sports you play. The time commitment to get better can't change. You know, the X amount of hours that's required to be good still is the same amount. And the group we have now, you know, and 6 years of being in McCook, this is by far the most basketball-induced group I think we've had. We got a lot of, not all, but a lot of basketball-first guys. And when you get guys like that, it gets pretty influencing with them of getting their buddies and their teammates in the gym. And, you know, last year was by far the best offseason we've had. We had guys in the gym all the time. And not just in designated times, but we always had kids messaging us at open the gym. And one of the best parts about that is most of those were underclassmen who are still on the team. So it's a good culture that they're starting to build. Like I said, though, we got to find a way to take another step forward. I feel like this year, you know, we're close to hitting our full potential. You know, there's obviously always going to be areas you got to get better at, but I think that this team definitely probably overachieved from where we were a year ago. You know, we weren't very competitive, and this year, you know, we were a pretty competitive team, and we improved in a lot of areas. So if we can make that step another time forward, I think we'll be just fine.
As far as schedule next year, if you know, still going back to Goodland next year again?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, before the season started, just talking with like Elkhorn, Mount Michael, and Gretna, they wanted to do a little three-team round robin east-west to start the season. So I don't know if that's still on the table or not. I would honestly probably prefer that, just kind of stay in state and mm-hmm. see some of the teams who, you know, or match up with some of the teams who, you know, are up there and see where you stand. And let's see, Thursday, Northwest reached out and they asked if we had any openings because they're losing five games. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to Mr. Nichols about that yet, but I think that would be a good one to pick up where, you know, there's closest Class B team we don't play, and that would replace the Valentine game who's leaving our conference. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, though, the schedule will be pretty similar. Won't be on the road as much as we were this year. I mean, we stayed in a hotel four different times, and we'll be home a lot more. But the teams will be pretty similar, and, you know, on the way home from Wahoo, the assistants are kind of looking at our schedule of, this team, who's going to be better or worse? And almost all the teams are going to be better yeah. next year than what they were this year. So, you know, we lost 10 games and almost everybody's going to be better. So, you know, that needs to be motivating for our kids, knowing that our schedule's not getting any easier.
Anything on the holiday tournament?
No, and that's another one that's kind of blank. It's supposed to be our year to host.
Yeah.
But when you got three teams around Omaha, asking them to come 4 hours, you're probably not going to get all three of them on board when they can just stay at home and play each other. So that's still up in the air. We might get another game or two during that time, which I would be okay with. But it'd also be nice, you know, sometime to play during that period in McCook. That's still a work in progress. And there are Eastern schools that do want to travel out here. And, like, if you get, like, an Ogallala or Scotts Bluff involved – at a neutral site, I think it'd be a little bit more appealing to some teams. We'll know probably in the coming month or so what that's going to look like.
Because Bennington and Crete, they went out east, Scotts Bluff, and I think their turn to come next year.
Yeah, and those guys, like Bennington's, they've been out to Scotts Bluff for the holiday tournament.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of those teams are willing to travel, but some of them, you know, they just want to stay. And I know, like, yeah. in the Eastern Midlands Conference, which is – where basically all the good teams are at, minus Scott. At their conference meeting last year, that was kind of a note was, let's start scheduling some more Western Class B schools. And knowing them, they're probably talking about Grand Island Northwest and York and, you know. But I know that's an emphasis that they want is kind of change their schedules a little bit.
All right, Class B, Coach, coming up again, starting up next week. Your thoughts on who's going to win it this year?
You know, we've talked about this, and I mentioned it to the kids. Everybody kind of agrees that this is the best year Class B's ever been from. I mean, you got so many good teams. Your state champ was Omaha Scott. They returned everybody but one kid from that state championship team. Norris was runner-up. They returned literally everybody. Lincoln Pius has been down in Class A a lot. They returned quite a few guys. Scotts Bluff was a semifinalist team last year, returned four starters. So, you know, pick whoever you want. I think you'd have to say Norris is probably your favorite. But, you know, Crete was a favorite last year and got upended in the semis. But it's going to be good. And, you know, like I told the kids after Monday, you know, there's been years, especially in the recent past, where it's probably been harder getting into a district final this year than it's been getting into a state tournament. And then you add in, we got five new schools in the Class B, where it accommodates all the new schools. So, you know, my first year I was in McCook, we had 24 schools in Class B, and right now we got 34. And the teams you're adding aren't, you know, bottom teams. You're adding all five new teams into Class B were in a district final, and four of them hosted as a top eight seed. So it's going to be fun to watch. I think, you know, the last probably 7-8 years, Class B's been, here's your top two or three teams, and everybody else is kind of playing for, you know, maybe a semifinal spot. And this year, I think literally 1 through 8, anybody can win it. You know, Norris is the one seed, has Pius as the eight. as kind of a blowout in the sub-districts, but 2 weeks before that, I think it was like a 6 or 8 point game. And you know, Pius knows how to play on the big stage. So even if that was an upset as a 1-8, it wouldn't be too surprising to people who have been following the Class B.
And then you wonder, you're going to keep an eye on Ogallala, Sydney, and Cosette in Class C1 too, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, those guys too. Ogallala's got a pretty good draw. I think they got a good shot at winning the whole thing. But on the same note, Cosette probably should have beat them twice. They went 1-1, but Cosette had them the first game and had a nice like 10-12 point lead for the first half. And the only time that they trailed was when the buzzer went off, mm-hmm. you know, so... I think Cosette can make it a nice run down there, and you know Sydney's been playing well as of late, and you know C1 I think is pretty wide open, but I think it'd be kind of cool to see a couple of the Southwest teams, you know, get some wins down there.
As far as filling that Southwest Conference team with Valentine out, you got to move somebody in there.
I've heard there's been invites, but no one's accepted. Had your Chase Counties and Hershey's, and you know, and I don't think anyone's bid on it yet, but it would be nice to have 8, you know, mm-hmm. where just a year ago we had 9,
yep.
you know, where we lost Ainsworth and now Valentine, but it'd be nice to fill it with somebody close.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll see.
And you know, there's talks too back, I think it was December, January-ish, where the Western Conference had reached out about merging with the Southwest, mm-hmm. and that got shot down. I think like your Mendens and Holdridges, like, you know, that's a little too far when you're talking about Shatter and Scotts Bluff, Gehring, Mitchell, Sydney, which would have definitely beefed up the conference. But like we just got done talking about, when you got 3 teams down at state in C1 and could have easily had 4, and you know, we made a district final and everybody else was, you know, pretty solid this year, that I think on our own, you know, the conference will have a lot of respect.